Thank you for worshiping with us this morning at Goodview Baptist Church. Colossians 3:16 tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So we invite you this morning to sing with us as we
praise to our God. I've entitled my message today, Building Faith in the Midst of the Storm. God wants to build faith in our life. If we are believers in Christ, He wants to make our faith stronger. And if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, He wants you to enter into faith that later on can grow. I read something recently that said, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. We've been very fortunate at our church to have a number of teachers attend and be a part of our church family. Three of them this year won Teacher of the Year, or Aide of the Year, at their school. And they'll tell you that there is the teaching that takes place and then the testing. I remember when I was in high school and college, my teachers or professors would say, now next week we're going to have a test. And it's going to cover certain material that you've looked at. Maybe a book that we read several chapters or a lesson that they had taught in the classroom and notes we had taken. And the test would say how well we learned the material. If we studied well and we listened well and we tested well, then we would do good on the test. But if we haven't listened or if we didn't study, we'd probably bomb out. Testing comes after teaching. And God will bring test into our life to teach us and to build our faith. Some people's definition of faith is just believing in something hard enough until it happens. And that's not really faith, that's foolishness. Just because you believe in something very hard doesn't mean it's going to happen. Some people take the idea that if you just have the power of positive thinking and you're just optimistic about everything, then everything's going to turn out right. Again, that's not necessarily true. Your faith is only as strong as the object that you put it in. I go home tonight, I turn on the television, I watch the news broadcast to find out what the weather is going to be like tomorrow. And the weather forecaster tells me that it's going to be a 10% chance of rain, and that'll be late in the evening. So I say, well, you know, I'm going to get up and mow the yard tomorrow, and I've got some yard work and some things I want to plant. And I'll get that done early, and then the rain will help that. I get up the next morning, and it's raining, and it rains all day. And I say, you know, the weather guy lied to me. No, he didn't. He took the best forecast and weather patterns that he could, and he tried to forecast what he thought would happen. And because it didn't happen, didn't mean he lied. It means there were some things that changed that were out of his control. you're in a conversation with a friend and you're talking about a problem you're going through. And they say, you know, I've got some information I want to send you and it'll help you. It deals with the very thing that you're dealing with. And so they tell you that they're going to text it to you or email it to you or call you and give you the information. And so you go home that night and you check your email and you check your messages on your phone and you check your text messages and there's no correspondence. You do it again later before you go to bed. Again, nothing. The next morning, surely it'll be there by then. It's still not in your inbox or on your text messages. You call them and say, did you send that message? And they say, you know, I forgot all about it. I'll do it right now. It wasn't that they lied to you. It's just they forgot about it. And our faith is like that. It can only be as strong as the object that it's in. And we put our faith in the character of God and the promises of God and the truth of God, that will never fail us. There's nothing that's out of God's control that's going to change his circumstances. He's never going to forget something that he said he would do. He's going to keep his promises. We used to hear people say, you can take that to the bank, meaning it's reliable, it's trustworthy, and so it is with God's promises. God wants to build faith in our life. We're in the midst of a series that I've entitled Night Scenes of the Bible, people and events that happen in the life of the Lord after dark. A couple weeks ago, I brought a message on Jesus' all-night prayer meeting. He had gone up into the mountain, and he had prayed to his Father all night. Many hours he spent talking and communing with his Father. The next day, he was going to begin choosing the 12 apostles. We often hear him called the 12 disciples, but a disciple is a learner, a student. Jesus had many disciples, many people who were following him, some that may have been committed to him, some that were not. But of this group of disciples, he was going to choose 12 out to be apostles, sent ones, ones that were going to take the gospel around the world. They were going to be life changers. And after his prayer meeting with the Father, he chose the 12. It would not have been the 12 we would have chosen. We might even think, Lord, I think you made a mistake. When I look at the life of these apostles and some things that they said and some things that they did, you could have chosen better guys than that, especially after praying all night. But it's important that we understand the mind of God and what he does. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, the Bible reads, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. When God looked out for those he was going to choose, he didn't choose what we might call the sharpest pencils in the box. He looked at people that he could infuse with his power and change the world. People that the world would look at as foolish and weak and insufficient. But God would work through them to perform mighty acts and take his message around the world. And he would confound the wise who couldn't understand how these guys could do and live like they did. And yet as we study the New Testament, we read that these guys had to grow in their faith. Their faith had to be built as well. On several occasions we read this, O ye of little faith. They had faith, but it was very small. And maybe that's the way your faith is now. You believe in God, you trust God, but the waves just knock you back and forth. There's a couple texts in the scripture I'd like to look at. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, we read these words. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Do you find yourself worrying about everything? Everything in everyday life? Jesus talks about they were worrying about the food. They were worried about what they were going to drink. They were worrying about what they're going to wear. And he said, isn't life more than that? Why are you worrying about those things? I don't know what you're worried about today, if you are worrying. Maybe it's your bank account. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's the opportunity to visit with friends that you haven't seen in a while. And you're just worrying about it. A statement that I like to hear is, worry is like a rocking chair. It goes back and forth and back and forth, but it never gets you anywhere. Jesus went on to say in chapter 16, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't they far more valuable to Him than you are? Can your worries add a single moment to your life? Jesus would say those that were worrying about every day what they might think of essentials and say, why are you worrying about these things? Don't you believe God's going to take care of you? Look at the birds. They don't have a job. They don't draw a paycheck. And yet God takes care of them. But you might say, well, that's just the way I am. But that doesn't mean it's how you should be. What if I told you today that every time I stand up to preach, not one story I tell is true. Every one is a lie. Because that's just the way I am. I'm a liar. Well, you would lose all credibility in me. Or we get back to church and I come in one Sunday late and tell the congregation, I'm sorry I'm a little bit late today, but during the coronavirus, I needed some money. And so I went through the parking lot today and tried to find cars with doors unlocked. And I took some of your valuables so I could sell them and make me some money. I didn't want to do that. But you know, I'm just a thief. That's just the way I am. That surely doesn't make it okay. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. It's wrong to do that. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. It's wrong to do that. And the Bible says we should not worry, but we should trust the Lord. Consider the birds. Have you heard this poem of the robin and the sparrow? Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it might be they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Jesus said to the people who were worrying, stop worrying. I'm going to take care of you. Life is more than food. Life is more than drink. Life is more than clothes. Consider the birds. Mark chapter 4, we have another story where Jesus bids his disciples to get in a boat and he went with them to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. We read these words. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Not only does Jesus talk about worry, but he talks about fear. And maybe this is a time where you're very fearful, or you might use the word anxious so you don't feel like you're a loser and don't have it together. But here are the disciples in a boat. Probably seven of them possibly were fishermen. And a storm came up and they thought they were going to die. And they very possibly could have. The boat could have broken apart. They could have been thrust into the waters and they could have drowned. But Jesus was in their boat. And they go and wake him up. He's asleep. And they say these words, teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown? We can understand their fear in the storm, but we cannot relate or agree with their estimation of the Lord. Don't you even care? You know, when things are going well in our life, we've got a good job, things are going well in our marriage, our kids are doing well, it's easy to stand up and say, you know, God is so good to me, and we can praise His name. But what happens when life turns difficult and crisis and storms come into our life? Our car breaks down and our marriage is on the rocks and there's a possibility that we might have some health issues. Can we still say, may God be praised? Or do we, like the disciples, say, Lord, don't you even care? It's easy to praise Him on the mountain, but the God of the mountain is the God in the valley as well. In Mark chapter 4, the next two verses, verses 39 through 41, say this. When Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then He asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They ask each other. Even the wind and the waves obey Him. Now think of the scene. The disciples are out in the water. They think the boat's going to go under. They think they're going to drown. They shout to the Lord, don't you even care? And immediately the Lord gets up and He hushes the wind and He stills the waves. Everything is calm. There's not a breath of wind. There's not anything on the sea. And then Jesus looks at the disciples and says, why is your faith so little? In other words, ye of little faith, why are you afraid? It's very interesting to note that the disciples were absolutely terrified. They were terrified at the presence of Jesus. The winds had already stopped. The waves were calm, but they were still scared. Why? Because they realized the holiness of God. And they said, what kind of man is this that even the waves obey him? Do you understand how God was building their faith? He didn't want them to see him as just a man, but as God incarnate in the boat with them, the creator of the universe, the one that can calm the storm. And God began to build this faith of these disciples who had small or very little faith. If you go back earlier in this chapter, verses 35 and 36, we read these words. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. If they would have somehow, and it's hard for us to do this, I understand that. But if they would have somehow said, you know, Jesus said we were going to cross this lake. He didn't say, let's go out in the middle and drown. He said, we're going to the other side. But a storm just happened to be a part of that journey. And God's going to take care of you. But he might bring storms into your life. He might bring difficulties in your life. And you might wonder, God, do you even care? I'm drowning here. And God was still in the boat. We need to remember the promises of God that he's going to care for us and he's going to be there. There's another very interesting aside in this story. It says, so they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Now, before they set out on the journey, they were on the shore of Galilee. And there were many people who had gathered to hear the teachings of Jesus. But he left those people, he got in a boat, and he began to go to the other side. And verse 36 says, there were other boats besides the one that Jesus was in that followed him. In other words, they were in the storm as well. They were not sure if they were going to make it as well. I'm sure they were as fearful as the disciples were. But they also saw what happened with the wind and what happened with the sea. They had to wonder what took place as they began to look at the boat that Jesus was in. I have to think that when they got to shore, they said, what happened out there? Everything just stopped. And the disciples said, Jesus spoke to the wind. What a man he is. This is the God man. He can be trusted. And I'm sure these guys in the other boats, their faith was tested as well. Maybe even some of them come to trust Christ as their Savior. I don't know what you're going through right now in your tests or your troubles or your storms, but I know there's other boats all around you. There's your neighbors that watch you to see how you respond in times of difficulty. There are people that you work with, people that you go to school with, people that you play sports with or hobbies with, and they're watching you. Jesus is in our boat if we're Christians, and he's going to help us through our storms, and we can give testimony to the fact that God cares for us and God provides for us and God protects us even in the most difficult times of our life. So don't worry. God said, I'm going to take care of you. And don't fear. Remember his promises and rely on them. Let me share one more passage and we'll come back and look at this in more detail next week. But in Matthew chapter 14, verses 20 and 21, they all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. We're not sure exactly how many people were here. We're told about 5,000 men. With the women and children, it could have been 15,000 to 20,000 to 25,000 people who had gathered to hear the Lord speak. It was at the height of his ministry. Imagine a pro basketball arena. It holds anywhere from 18,000 to 25,000 people. Imagine you're at center court and you've got two little sardines and five little biscuits and you look at the crowd and you're wondering, I wonder if I could feed these people. That's what Jesus did. With this young boy's lunch, he fed some 20,000 people to the point that they were full and couldn't eat anymore. And after that, there were still 12 baskets left over. We'll look at the story next week, but Jesus goes into the mountain, he dismisses the crowd, and he sends the disciples across the sea. I got to believe that those 12 baskets were given to each of the disciples. I believe the baskets were actually in the boat with the disciples. This is what I want you to think about this week. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 52, talking about this story, the scripture says, talking about the disciples, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. Jesus just fed 20,000 people or more. It was just a few hours earlier. But for some reason, it just didn't sink into the hearts of the disciples as to the power of Jesus Christ. And that was going to cost them in the storm. Jesus wants to build our faith. And he'll use difficulties to do it. And when we trust him and rely on him and depend on him, he'll come through for us. Maybe not in the way we want to, but in the way that's best. I heard a story recently about a couple who were celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary. They got married when they were 20 years of age, and now they were both 60 years of age. And friends and family came and brought them gifts and gave them well wishes, and then they left. After everybody had left, a genie appeared. And the genie said, I'm going to grant each of you one wish since it's your 40th anniversary. He went to the wife first. And she said, well, you know, I've always wanted to go on a worldwide cruise, but we've never had the money to do it. And if I had a wish, that's what it would be, a worldwide cruise. Well, the genie crossed his arms and nodded his head, and poof, in her hands were two tickets for a world cruise, 6 months. He then looked to the husband and said, is there anything that you would like, any wish I can grant for you? And the husband said, well, I think there is, but could I talk to you privately? And the genie said, sure. And they got out of earshot of the wife, and he said, I've always wanted to be married to a woman 30 years younger than I am. The genie said, no problem. Crossed his arms, nodded his head, and poof, the man was 90 years old. Well, that's sort of a humorous story. But sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers, because if he gave us what we wanted, then when we got it, we really wouldn't want it, because we don't understand the significance of what's going on in our life. You see, some of you have been praying for your family that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You've been praying that God might send revival to America. You may be praying that God might work in your heart and draw him closer to you. And maybe this COVID-19 pandemic is doing that. That which we think God needs to take away, he may be allowing to bring good from it. Now, I think we still need to take precautions. I think we still need to pray that God will protect us and take away this virus. But he may have a purpose, even in the difficult storms of our life, to draw us closer to him and to build our faith. I hope that's true in your life. My wife is going to come and sing a song entitled The Fire, and sort of brings this message to music. And listen to this song as she sings, and then I'll come back and share some more things as we wrap up.
Deepened my desire to know.
Thank you for joining us today for our service here at Goodview Baptist Church. If God has been speaking to your heart about your faith, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the first step you need to make. Get to know Him. Understand what it means to be a Christian and to be saved and to be born again. A few years ago, we were in Charlotte, North Carolina at a conference, and I had an attack of kidney stones. I'd had two or three attacks before, so I knew what was happening. The problem was I was in Charlotte and my medicine was in Goodview. Some of the people of our church was down there with me, and I went to a guy in our church who I knew also had battled kidney stones. And I found him, and I said, "Do you have any of your medicine with you for kidney stones?" He said, "Yes, I do." And I got that and took it, and it was enough relief for me to drive back to Roanoke. My point is this: if we want something badly enough, we'll find it. And so if you're not sure you're a Christian, seek somebody out who can answer that question for you. Call our church, email us at pastor@goodviewbaptistchurch, and we'll respond to you and help you with that issue in your life. If you're a Christian, God might be using difficulties to build your faith like He did in the disciples' lives. So don't detest the trials and the storms of God. He may use them for good. We've talked about four things, and let me just briefly say these. In these difficult times, we need to realize that God is still in control. God can be trusted. He promised He would never leave us or forsake us, and all things work together for good. If we can be a help to you, let us know. And now for our church people. We had some signs made up that basically point people to our website, and on the website you can go to the YouTube to watch the service or Facebook. I'm asking people to put these in their yards, and as people drive by, hopefully they'll be curious enough to go to our website and listen to one of our messages. What I'm finding is many times when you put this up, your neighbors are the ones who'll go because they're interested in your faith. They're like the people in the other boat that we talked about in the message. And then lastly, I want to thank those of you who have been given to our church during this time that we've been out. Many of you have been mailing in your checks or giving your tithes online. Thank you for doing that. If you're watching us today and you attend another church, your church still needs your support. And so call your church or call your pastor and find out what you can do to minister the grace of God and the love of God during these times. For those of our church that want to give, if you're not sure how to do that, you can go to our website, goodviewbaptist.org. Scroll down to the bottom of the page, and there's a place that says give, and it'll explain how you can give. You can give online. You can mail your monies or your tithes or your checks to P.O. Box 41, Goodview, Virginia. Thank many of you who have been given. It helps us to continue to minister even during this time of the COVID-19 pandemic. God bless you. Hope to see you next week.